welcome to NHS England's South West Faculty for Advancing Practice podcast series. In this episode, I'll be checking in with our workforce associates, Jennifer and Luke. My name is Rachel Brandreth, and I'm the Supervision and Assessment Lead for Dietetics, Occupational Therapy, Podiatry and Speech and Language Therapy here in the South West Faculty for Advancing Practice. Today, it's my pleasure to have back with us Jennifer Lloyd and Luke Cunningham. So hopefully you can introduce yourselves.
Hello, everyone. My name is Luke Cunningham, and I'm a Workforce Transformation Associate with the South West Faculty of Advanced Practice.
Hi there, I'm Jennifer Lloyd. I'm also a Workforce Transformation Associate in the South West Faculty for Advancing Practice.
It's really exciting to have you guys back and be having this conversation. So last time we sat down together, you were really early on in your journey. And so I'm really keen to hear about the work that you've been doing over the last 18 months and hoping that you'll be able to share lots of insights with our listeners. So we talked about why we want a diverse workforce, kind of why it's important to be having allied health professionals at the advanced practice level, and also why we need to move from that kind of trailblazing, pioneering kind of approach to a more workforce planning situation. If anybody tuning in wants to listen back, then you can find that conversation in episode 2 of the series. Right, let's get on with the conversation today. So having worked with you and the team over the last 18 months, I've seen you being super busy. So can you tell me a little bit more about what you've been up to?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Rach. I think the first thing that we did was we wanted to see, we were very aware that we weren't the first people to kind of ask these sorts of questions. So we wanted to see what was out there. So we did a formal review of the literature. It was really sparse. There's certainly not a lot of published data out there. There's some key papers from the HCPC and a couple of others, but really sparse when it came to formal published research on this. And the second thing that we did was to sort of cast our net far and wide and start to speak to lots of different people, both within region and out of region, about what their experiences have been around advanced practice. And through that networking and that relationship building, we came across some work that was happening concurrently, but within Dorset County around AHPs and advanced practice. And we also found a really excellent paper from colleagues in the Southeast, Tony King and Sarah Patterson, who'd done a spotlight on AHPs and advanced practice in community rehabilitation and mental health, which was really, really excellent, and spoke to a lot of the sort of formalized a lot of the themes and barriers that we'd sort of come across through our own conversation. So it was a really excellent piece of work that we discovered by chance, really. And what we then did was kind of pull all these conversations together, all this reading of the literature into one sort of like initial paper that we produced early 2022, which can be found on the Centre for Advancing Practice website under the South West General Resources section.
So as Luke said, we looked at the barriers which had already been mapped out in the Southeast, and then tried to do a bit of an updated version with that, with extra discussions that we'd had across the Southwest region, extra things that we'd found in our own reading. And we felt that there were a few themes that started to come really strongly out of reasons that people were giving for why they didn't see advanced practice as a viable option for them, or they couldn't think about how they might approach it or apply it. So there were some themes which you would understand and expect quite easily around the kind of the operational barriers, the financing of roles. We know that it's a pressure time in the NHS, and actually getting any new way of working and funding for new opportunities off the ground is difficult. But there were other themes around the early career or education pathways, people feeling that actually they'd had that breadth of development to position themselves well to move towards advanced practice. There were themes around the impact of roles, either people who were in emerging roles that were struggling to demonstrate quantitatively the value of what they were doing, or people who were looking for examples of existing roles to use their impact to help to put a business case forward to show that this is something that's worth investing in. But crucially underpinning all of these, there were real recurrent themes around the understanding of what advanced practice is and how to apply advanced practice in areas that haven't used it before. What is a new imagining of advanced practice in different clinical areas, and what could that vision look like? And actually, the more we looked at these barriers when we put them down on paper, we thought, we've asked the question from an AHP and pharmacy perspective, But actually, these barriers could apply to any professional background that's trying to apply advanced practice in new areas, in new ways. So we opened up our thinking a little bit, and we've used the term emerging areas to think about actually if you're looking at using advanced practice in a novel way, in a novel clinical area, any of these barriers are likely to apply to you. And actually, there's potential for strength in numbers of us looking jointly at how we might start coming up with these new visions.
I think during our work, there is obviously like there's a lot of different things happening. At the same time, we weren't working on things sequentially. It was much more of a kind of concurrent work stream. And the one of the very first things that we realized was around the case studies that existed at the time were very inspirational in their writing and in their reach. They did a really excellent job of drawing people in and getting them excited about advanced practice. But then there was lots of questions off the back of reading those case studies. So again, going back to that sort of relationship building and networking that we did, it became apparent that lots of questions around how did advanced practice examples that we brought, how did that individual shape their early career, or what additional learning had they done, what additional skills had they acquired to prepare them for working at the advanced practice level, going on to a training course and becoming a trainee. And to address that, we felt that a slightly different case study template would be really useful. A slightly more in-depth one where the reader could decide how much of that information they wanted to kind of pull out. So there's currently a couple of examples of this on the Center for Advancing Practice website, again, under the Southwest resources page, where you can see an executive summary of these new and exciting roles. And then there's a sort of slightly more in-depth interview with the trainee advanced practitioner or advanced practitioner that kind of really does showcase how they built their journey, you know, what gives you a few flavors of what sort of things they were doing, you know, when they decided that they were going to enter the world of advanced practice.
Yeah, I'm really glad to see these case studies coming out of this work, because like a lot of the conversations I've been having with lots of different workforce leads, actually, it's the sort of thing that brings it to life. It gives people that context and something that they can quickly refer to, and then it helps them explain it to whoever they need to explain, you know, the key stakeholders in their area. And what other resources have you been working on to kind of supplement that?
So after we'd done the write-up of this, we spent a bit of time going around the Southwest region, chatting to different groups about what sort of things they felt would be helpful. We really wanted to create something that was wanted. And we got ideas back around having banks of visions for roles in different places, decision trees to guide thought processes, myth-busting documents, guidance on how to measure impact. We had lots of these themes that were coming out, which we felt actually could potentially sit quite well together rather than being individual resources. And we also knew that we wanted to create something that was something that people could actively engage with and use rather than a passive document that might be thought-provoking and interesting, but actually didn't further anyone's next steps.
Yeah, so helping people to have that sort of pledge approach, helping them to work out, you know, okay, this is interesting, I'm excited about this, so what do I do next? And I love the way that you kind of really brought that narrative through.
I think we really reflected on the fact that the health and social care system doesn't have often very neat pathways for patients, and it's really difficult to follow just like one model or one, you know, linear process. So we, as Jennifer said, we wanted to try and produce something that would allow teams, individuals, systems to, you know, feel like they could really take ownership of the process and make something that was meaningful to them and what they felt their patients needed and was very much driven forward by them, rather than again, as Jennifer said, like just being something that, you know, they're told that this is the best way to do it. And we really kind of like stayed on that theme and noticed people trying to create these roles or trying to do something different and transform care in their area. There was broadly two categories. So people who came from a specific area straight away and knew that advanced practice may help, And there was also people who supported a number of different areas, and they weren't entirely sure which one, you know, to pick, where to start with that process. So we kind of took that as our starting point.
One of the really common themes was motivated individuals who felt like advanced practice was something they could see for their own career coming to speak to us for advice. And it was always really exciting and really interesting to talk to these people and to hear about the services that they worked with. But I think it it really sparked the idea in us that we needed to look at turning the conversation around from how does an individual move into advanced practice, which is clearly that's a great opportunity for them, but that has to be married with service benefits, patient benefits. So thinking about changing this conversation from what is my personal development to advanced practice to how do we look at what actually the benefits to our service and patients are of bringing in someone with a diverse professional background into an advanced practice role. What are the opportunities that that can deliver for care?
Yeah, I can really see that coming together. And I just wonder, what does that, in reality, what does that really look like?
It takes the form of a series of workshops and a sort of companion workbook. And linking back to a point that was made earlier, it's designed to help teams and systems, et cetera, navigate their way through this process. So remember, this is through the lens of emerging areas. So there's very little to go off in terms of other places in the country that have done this. You know, there's very few, if any, roles attempting to do advanced practice in this way. So how do you start that conversation? And we kind of felt bringing people together is really, really useful, provided that, you know, in this climate of everybody's diaries being, you know, really jammed packed, like, how are you going to maximize the value of that time? So the workshops allow people to kind of go through a fairly standardized process underneath it all, but have very bespoke conversations to what they need and to what they feel is right for their patients and the teams working within those different systems.
So if somebody's like knows, heard about advanced practice and they know that this is something important for them to be thinking about bringing the key stakeholders together and using this resource, but they might not feel confident about what the advanced practice narrative is. Have you done anything to sort of help guide people along with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think we need to recognize that, you know, that's potentially the majority of the people who are going to be engaging with this work are people who will be coming at it completely fresh. So one of the first things we've included in the document is just some signposting to people and resources. So if you really are coming at this afresh, thinking about who some of your key allies and guidance might be. But within the workshops themselves, actually, we want to take everyone back to square one. We know that even people who are coming with a certain amount of knowledge about advanced practice, that knowledge is potentially still ring-fenced within a certain area and could lead you down kind of certain biases or mental models towards what you've already experienced. So the workshops, in terms of what you can access, there are PowerPoints and tutor notes for the facilitator to help guide through the process. But for each of the workshops, there are pre-recorded videos which include all of the background context about what advanced practice is, some different frameworks and models to help people to look at it in different ways. So we've really tried to capture some of those myth-busting thoughts, some of those questions that we get asked most commonly about how advanced practice works, what it is, what it isn't, into these pre-recorded videos, so that actually the people in the room can focus on how to apply that to their setting rather than trying to become experts in advanced practice as a whole.
I think it's also really important to mention that, as Jennifer says, produce sort of facilitator notes, and there's standard slide packs, you know, for each of the different stages of the process. It's not about just following that to the letter. It's more about identifying the right stakeholders, getting them into a call or a room to have a meaningful conversation about what are the pros and cons of using advanced practice. Is this right for us? You know, and what are the what challenges would the advanced practice role address?
So I can see how that sort of would play out. But I would be really interested, especially for the listeners, what are those actual steps? What does the workshop really look like?
So we mentioned before around there's two general starting points for this. So one is you're very firm on the specialism that you're working within. So diabetes, stroke, mental health, learning disabilities, whatever that might look like, and you're interested in knowing how advanced practice could help you transform care and within that area. And the other starting point would be that you are a manager or a leader who is responsible for supporting a number of different pathways. You're aware of advanced practice. You feel like it could be useful in a number of these different pathways, and you want to know where to start. Which one of those pathways should you put your energy into? Which one is kind of right for advanced practice? Where should your energy go?
So if you're one of these managers that actually can look across a range of your services and are wondering where to apply it, there's a one-off, what we call a prioritization workshop, which has a framework that helps you to assess your services or pathways to see which one or two might have the greatest immediate potential to go forward, which is the easiest door to push on. Once you've identified that pathway through either entry point that Luke described, there's a series of two or three workshops which take you through the sort of workforce transformation principles of, firstly, we need to understand advanced practice. We need everyone to be on the same page about what that is and to agree that this is a conversation we want to have. Secondly, we have to really understand the service as it is now. We want to be creating something which is a solution to existing challenges, which is a needed and valuable role. So there's a lot of time spent on bringing different perspectives on how the service is working as it is, from a few different perspectives through a few different frameworks, to make sure that we really understand what our existing challenges are and that what we're creating is in response to a need. And finally, we come back together and we bring those ideas together. So we think about our shared understanding of advanced practice, our shared understanding of the service challenges, to then look at the four pillars of practice, to think about, okay, what are the activities that we might want someone to deliver against each of these pillars directly to address the challenges we've got? And then on the back of that, what are the capabilities and the skills that we need them to have to be able to fulfill the role? So instead of making assumptions about, whether prescribing is an essential element, whether imaging requests are an essential element, actually let's understand the gaps in the pathway, what this person is going to need to be able to deliver, and design their role and their competencies on the basis of that.
I'm really interested to unpick that a little bit further. I think something there around, I've had a lot of requests and heard a lot of people saying, oh, we need standardized job descriptions and everybody needs to be able to cover everybody else's back, but actually recognizing that that within a certain specialty, there might be some really key things that are important for that level of autonomy, that advanced practitioner, that are completely different to another area of practice. And so it's really nice to sort of have an opportunity to stop and think, what does this service really need? And so I really like the way the workshops sort of guide people through that. What do you hope to achieve with this resource? What's your overarching goals?
I think we've sort of touched on this point a little bit earlier, but just to be really clear, this isn't the workshops are there to act as a guide, act as a sort of launching off point. The most important ingredient is the permission to kind of stop and bring an element of intentionality to the conversation. The advanced practice model, there's a potentially a three-year training program and a master's that an individual is asked to complete, which is a huge undertaking for someone to go off and do. It usually pushes individuals well outside their comfort zone. It's not potentially a quick fix. On the surface of it, it can be quite a costly process. So we can really maximize the impact of that role from day one by having this considered conversation about the utility of it, what we hope to achieve with it. So I think from our side of things, we're just providing a structure for people to have that focus and have that intentionality around workforce transformation and whatever that looks like for them and their patients.
Yeah, and I think when you've got something as like this and use it as a tool, it sort of takes it away from somebody's narrative. It sort of shifts the power of the conversation, doesn't it? So you're using something that everybody's got that same sort of, you're all in the room together as an equal, I guess. And that's one of the things that I really like about what I've seen so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's about, we're not trying to just provide a framework to have a nice conversation or just to discuss a nice idea. It's to try and bring an element of accountability to, to workforce development and workforce transformation. So it's not just, oh, what could we get someone to do, sort of blue sky thinking, that there'll be a pinch of that in there, but what are the challenges that we're facing? Where do we really need to focus our energies? Where would advanced practice really kind of change things for our patients accessing these types of services? So it's just a methodology to do that.
And I think we're really clear in our minds with it that this isn't, it's not a guaranteed roadmap to an advanced practice role. That actually for us, a really valid outcome of these conversations would be that the group has these discussions and decides advanced practice isn't what it needs. You know, they are, as Luke says, it's a significant investment from the trust. It's a significant training process for an individual. And actually through the discussions, you highlight that you don't need that level of expertise across the four pillars of practice. Then hopefully that prevents someone getting onto a path which is actually going to be unfulfilling and challenging for the service and the trainee.
I think also we're hoping to really clarify through these conversations for teams and for systems that it's not about creating a sort of almighty advanced practitioner that can do anything at any time. It's not a heroic intervention in that way. Going through these, this conversation process can really help see how advanced practice can transform care for patients, but also in a sort of complementary way for other teams accessing that service or that have to deal with that service or relate to that service. So it's very much about how do we embed this with what's already there, or if we're going to change things, how does that impact what's already there rather than parachuting in an advanced practitioner to sort of save everybody from their woes.
We need to be really clear when we're skilling up one or two people into an advanced practice role that, yes, they're going to bring great expertise and great skills, but they aren't going to be the lone saviour of a service pathway. And I think for us, again, that's part of why having this collaborative conversation is really important in the role development. Actually, we want clinical members of the MDT, they're right at the beginning informing what the role's going to be asked to do, but also how are they going to work with the role? You know, how is this individual or these people going to enhance work across the team and enable everyone to do their jobs better rather than become a single person fighting the fight in isolation?
I think another thing that we're really hopeful with this work is to make it feel achievable for people. Through the conversations that we've had, a lot of the feedback is that people are really struggling to get fully to grips with advanced practice. There's so many initiatives for managers and leaders, and individual clinicians at the moment that advanced practice can feel like one more thing. So we're really hoping that this helps provide some clarity for people. It's a kind of an easy to follow process that can kind of guide them through. They don't necessarily need to be an expert on advanced practice, but they do need to know their services and kind of, we kind of build that knowledge into the workshops so that they can kind of get to grips with it and then see how it works for them.
So I'm aware that over the last few months you've been piloting these resources and been hearing loads of great things, including I've actually used it with you, haven't I? So that was a really great experience because it's allowed me to really understand what the process is like, I guess. And some of the things that I really saw value in were around where the bringing people together, kind of leveling the understanding sort of advanced practice and helping to make sure that everybody's on the same page as you start talking about it. Because it's surprising when you have these conversations how you think initially, right, okay, yeah, you've got an understanding of advanced practice. But then when you start getting into the nitty-gritty, you're actually on a really different page. So I found using the resource invaluable from that point of view. Also, it kind of really helped us sort of pick out lots of different themes that, so I use it with several different sites in one of our programs, and it really helped us pick out where advanced practice would help and where it really wasn't needed. And there were some really quick wins that we could do and get on with without needing significant workforce development. And then there were some bits that were right. Oh, okay. Yeah. We can really see how the advanced practitioner fits in the pathway here. And it allowed us to have a lot more focus on and a better idea of where to put the energy. So that's been really helpful for sites. And I can see those conversations developing and people are starting to look at putting that into practice now, which is really exciting.
I think one of the other interesting things from running the pilots is seeing people's thinking around it change. I think especially because a lot of the really well-established roles are in clinical areas where they're working in a very medical model way, or they're working in quite an assessment, clinical and assessment heavy way. That's often a mental image that people come in with. And it's been fascinating seeing people look at their services and pathways differently and thinking about, we can maybe picture what the advanced practitioner looks like at the front door, but actually how do they support across the length of a pathway? And particularly the amazing opportunity that can be brought in where a pathway might be split across a number of different operational services. And we've got these artificial boundaries with eligibility criteria and transition points that we see so much, and the potential that can be brought in for smoothing and real collaborative, connected up working through use of advanced practice across the whole length of a patient journey, rather than just thinking about that front loaded initial assessment.
Yeah, and it's not just around that journey, is it? It's also across, you know, we've got more people living with more morbidity, and it's across those specialisms as well. And advanced practice can really, really have an impact. And I think these tools help people to have those conversations and help you sort of zoom out from where you initially saw the problem out to, right, thinking about that whole person, their whole pathway, and them as a whole person, their biopsychosocial issues. And all the different conditions that come into that, rather than we're here to treat the diabetes, for example. So having stepped away slightly from that, the more narrowed focus on the allied health professions and taking that kind of wider lens of the emerging areas, I just wondered if I could bring you back and have you got any final thoughts for AHPs as you leave this role?
Yeah, thanks, Rach. I think we've probably got three main takeaways for AHPs. One is around talent management. One is around developing roles in collaboration. And the final one, I think, is about sharing successes. And if we just jump back to talent management, I think a lot of AHPs that we've spoken to, even though lots of professional bodies now recognize the framework of the four pillars of practice and have developed career pathways that kind of align to that, I think it's still not particularly well known amongst frontline clinicians. I mean, I know that's quite a generalization, but I think it can be really, really useful to think about your career and your career development as an AHP through that lens of the four pillars of practice. And I also think it's really useful to describe the skills and experience that you have against that framework, because I think a lot of AHPs are really, really knowledgeable, have lots and lots of skills, but perhaps don't necessarily think about themselves against the four pillars of practice. And that can sometimes make advanced practice feel like it's not for them.
Thanks, Luke. So in terms of that second hope of developing roles collaboratively, we've talked about that a lot this podcast, so I don't think we need to dwell on it. But I think we really want to focus on supporting people to join up those multi-professional conversations, you know, coming together as your MDTs, avoiding slipping back into our silos and coming away from those operational or organizational barriers that might feel like we can't go forward. And obviously thinking about the patient voice throughout all of this and looking for opportunities if we're were looking for collaborative creation of new ways of working, looking for any opportunity we can for including a patient rep, for having true co-production at the beginning of these roles and role modelling how we think that should go forward. And our final hope, or our final ask really from AHPs, is share successes. We said earlier on in this podcast that one of the things that we were asked for a lot at the beginning of our secondment was examples of how people are measuring impact, demonstrating impact in their services. And actually, that's a real collective responsibility. We're creating something that's really new and really exciting here. And actually, it's each of our responsibilities to demonstrate the work that we've done. So use that robust planning right from the start of a role so that it's easier to evaluate your impact. But then look for those local, regional, national forums where you can go and share your outcomes, share your models of working, making sure that when you're evaluating impact, you're looking across the four pillars. So yes, obviously we need to measure our clinical impact, but there are another three pillars there. What have you achieved against those, and how do we stimulate that conversation? And really just share the wonderful work that is going on so that it helps to add to the momentum and the enthusiasm around developing exciting new opportunities.
So that's all we've got time for today. I'd really like to say a massive thank you for coming and sharing your experience and your insights. This has been such a great piece of work and such a pleasure to work with you both on it. It brings the joy in work. So a massive thank you. And I guess just the last thing to say is I hope it's been useful for you listening as well, and that you've be able to kind of take away points that you can kind of go away and act upon. I hope you'll join us for our next episode in due course.